mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. What we have in Isaiah 65 is what I call a wide-angle view of history. God speaks through Isaiah and shows us this wide glimpse of history in which God restores his people and his creation. What Isaiah does in this passage is reveal God's purposes in saving and delivering his people. This includes God's work of setting all things right that went wrong in the Garden of Eden. And so this morning I'll do contrasts between the new heavens and the new earth and the beginning of creation, and that its point in God revealing that is showing us how in the new heavens and new earth all things will be restored, which we messed up. Collectively, we messed up in the first rebellion of our parents and our ongoing rebellion against God. We're not to give in to despair or dismay, but it is God's will for us as his people to give thanks and rejoice in the certain hope of God's promise to make all things new. So first, God makes all things new in the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. Isaiah 65:17 says this, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind." When Isaiah says this, that God creates a new heavens and a new earth, Isaiah is using the Hebrew word bara, which means to create. The same word he used in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." God's almighty power, which was displayed in the beginning of time, as recorded in Genesis 1, will be displayed in this mighty work of a new creation. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. This prophecy awaits the second coming of Christ. We find the fulfillment of this promise in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, where John says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." There's times and points at which the biblical writers throw in a phrase pointing to a reality that kind of goes over our heads. Notice in that passage in Revelation 1, "And there was no longer any sea." We say to ourselves, what's that have to do with anything? But the sea to ancient peoples was a symbol of chaos and destruction. Even though Jesus had professional fishermen with him, at times they were caught totally off guard by the fact that they were out on the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden a storm came up that was out of control and that their very lives and existence was threatened. And so in Revelation, where John gives us a picture of this new Jerusalem, there's no longer any sea. There's no longer any chaos that's going to threaten your life. That's what John means to communicate. If you read through Genesis 1, you will see at different points in Genesis 1 that God created all things in heaven and earth, and as he created the various parts of his creation, we hear this refrain, "And God saw that it was good." God is emphasizing in this the goodness of his creation. The Lord God Almighty is preparing his people for his eternal kingdom. And so he creates a new heavens and a new earth, and the former is not remembered because that former one was corrupted by sin itself. And so the Lord removes all the effects of and consequences of sin in making this new creation. The Apostle Paul speaks of the effects of sin on creation in Romans 8, 22 and 23. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. And so the Apostle Paul pictures nature as groaning and laboring, even as a mother goes through the pains of childbirth. And so going back to Isaiah 65, he tells us that this former creation will be remembered no longer. Now I want to take a page of personal history and illustration here. I'm a father. My children were born towards the end of the 20th and the beginning of the 21st, so I'm not a father who was waiting out in the waiting room while my wife was giving birth. I was there. I know you probably heard this before, but pictures were taken of newborn child and mother and father, and Cedric looks like he's the one that went through labor. When the former things are remembered no more, an earthly illustration of that is when a woman gives birth to a child and a week later, she wants to have children. And you say to yourself, are you sure? We remember the former creation no more. It's almost like God has redeemed our memory once we come to the new heavens and new earth, because all the frustration, all the injustices, all the awkward moments that sin brings upon us, we remember no more. God sanctifies our memory. Even though we might live 7 or 8 decades in this life and have plenty of bad memory, God takes that away and he redeems our memory so that we remember all that baggage no more. Thank God that he gives us a sanctified memory in the new heavens and the new earth. As God brings in the new heavens and the new earth, he removes all the pain and frustration of Eden and of sin's curse and distortion upon creation and upon our lives. God's new paradise is made new in the redemption of our body, which speaks of the resurrection of all God's people at the end of history. God renews and redeems us, both spiritually and physically, because all his creation, both visible and invisible, was good, was then corrupted, and then he will make all things new. That part of us, both spiritual and physical. Secondly, God makes all things new as he removes all sorrow and frustration, and he gives his people perfect joy and contentment in serving him. Let us hear the words of Isaiah 65, 18 and 19. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people, and they will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. In this life, we cringe at memories of both what we have done, which is wrong, and the good that we left undone. Again, God will cleanse our memories because we will remember those things no more, and we will cry about them no more. We know that this will happen, and this will be welcomed by us as God's people, as we are relieved from the sufferings of this life. Fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy is found in Revelation 21, verses 3 through 5, where we hear this. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." This point in contrasting the curse of sin in Eden and the removal of God's curse in God's eternal kingdom. One of the consequences of our first parents' sin was sorrow and frustration due to the brokenness of our sin. God commands his people right now to rejoice in the signs of God's goodness that are still evident and present in his creation, and also for his mercy on his people, which we know in part in this life. And so we need to be a people who are thankful, knowing that we have a first fruit, a foretaste. Elsewhere in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul speaks of our present salvation as a down payment of that which is to come. The full measure of God's joy will happen at that time in which God fully removes the sorrow or our sin in such a way that sorrow and mourning will no longer be present. And so God makes all things new as he wipes away our sorrow and our pain. Third and final point is that God makes all things new as one day we will serve him perfectly and do no wrong at all. We will only act in a righteous way towards God and others. We will no longer sin, nor shall injustices be committed to each other. Only in righteousness and holiness we will live in new heavens and the new earth. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 24 and 25 say this: "It will also come to pass, before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will graze together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain." These images are not simply about the future life of animals, but also the future life of humanity, redeemed humanity, indicating that people will no longer oppress one another as they have done in this life. Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 11 are parallel pictures of God's world of animals living together in harmony. Instead of these animals being animals of prey toward each other, such as the lion and the lamb being a source of food, these animals feed on grass, straw, and vegetation. While animals and their harmonious relationships between each other are mentioned here, it is ultimately people who are the crowning point of creation. And so in Isaiah 65, 25, I think the focus is on us, that we will do no harm in all of God's holy mountain. Let us also see the fulfillment of this again in Revelation 21, verses 24 through 27, which says this: "The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night there, its gates will never be closed. And they will bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those names which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Notice that Revelation 21 highlights that there is no need to close the gates in the heavenly Jerusalem precisely because sin is no longer present. Sometimes, perhaps, you have reminisced about the good old days. One of the things that's often mentioned about that, whatever that period of time in life that you call the good old days, is that when you left your house, you didn't have to lock the doors. Whether you went away for a day or a weekend or a whole week of vacation, you still didn't lock the doors. New heavens and a new earth, since no one is spiritually or morally unclean, there's no reason to close the gates of the city. Again, a picture picture pointing to the fact that there will be total purity there. Everyone's motives will be in line with God's will. In fact, it also says that there will be daytime all the time, that there is no night there. Now, again, we probably have to sit and chew on all that means and unpack what is meant by that comment. Certainly in the context of Revelation 21, part of what that means is that the associations and thoughts of this broken, sinful world, which brings about it feelings of lack of safety and security, that will not be true in heaven. Since all of sin is gone, then all apprehensions, all anxieties and thoughts of insecurity due to sin will also be gone. God makes all things new, His creation, His people, in our dealings with one another, we will do no harm in all of His holy mountain. He shall be our God, and we shall be His people. Even though right now we have a foretaste of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the full measure of what it means to be united with God in perfect harmony awaits Christ's return. And yet we have a foretaste. And so as the people of God right now, we need to be a people of thanksgiving for God's blessings to us right now. And we also need to be a people of hope who know these things which were yet future will come to pass. And the reason we can have confidence is the very season that we're celebrating we ought to remember throughout the year. The reason we can be assured of Christ's second coming is that Christ has come, Christ has risen, and truly one day He will come again to create these new heavens and new earth. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, help us by Your Holy Spirit to know and to love You, to place our hope and full confidence in Your